We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Carr gets rid of it quickly. Caught by Waller, the tight end. And he gets knocked down there. The ball comes out loose. The Bills jump on top of it. Run. Josh Norman has the football. They're going to rule it a fumble, or they're going to rule he was down.
Going the other way, Buffalo first down.
Buffalo ball at their own 40-yard line. Snap, play action fake. Allen sets up deep. Going to go deep. Going to go for it all downfield. Got a man there. It is caught. Stephon Diggs makes the catch, and he goes down. Stephon Diggs went up high and brought it down. An amazing catch by Diggs. He's down at the Raiders' 10-yard line. He beat Eric Harris, the safety.
That's complimentary football. Defense did a great job of forcing turnover there, and you know, we're glad to have Jano back on the field. And for him just to kind of give us an opportunity to go make a play and shoot myself in the foot, I could have let him a little more, but I gave him a chance, and he made one heck of a grab and put us in position to score a touchdown. That's what we did.
Third and one from the three. The snap they give goes to Singletary. Scoots over the left side. He is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Devin Singletary scoots into the end zone for the Buffalo touchdown.
You heard a lot of John Murphy there on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. You heard Josh Allen in there. Hey, I got my earbuds back. You didn't know what was going on in the studio. Am I muted? Hold on. Let me unmute on the stream. Sorry. Got to play with some buttons here to make sure that everybody can hear me. Welcome back. It's the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. Not only on the radio, but we are live streaming today on our Facebook page, WGR 550 Facebook. I got my earbuds back. You have no idea what was going on in the studio for the last hour. I was freaking out. I couldn't find my earbuds. Do you ever have one of those deals where You lose something or you can't find something and you're looking everywhere and then you realize, like, wait a minute, I know exactly what I did and where I put them. That's what happened. So I've been using these. I don't like the bigger headphones. So if you see on the stream now, I got these are the bigger headphones. I don't like these. I like the earbuds more. I just put them in my ears and kind of looks natural and normal and it feels okay. I'll wear the headphones. I had to. But what happened was I come in the studio and I'm like, I know I had these earbuds in my hand. What did I do with them? Searching around. Every break, I'm searching. Can't find them. Yeah, of course they were in my bag. In my backpack, in a little pocket, little pouch. Of course they were. So I'm so worried about giving you a good show and thinking about prepping and the new reality. That's what we're talking about today, the new reality of the Buffalo Bills. I shouldn't be mad. I'm not mad. I'm mad at myself. But the Bills are 4-0. It's a Buffalo Football Monday. Don't forget, after this, we got One Bills Live coming up on WGR. It is with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker. They will take you up to Shope and the Bulldog at 3. They'll be joined by Eric Wood at 4 o'clock. We'll hear from Sean McDermott a little bit later today, and he will run through all of the injuries from yesterday, or at least probably tell us that he doesn't have any information on them necessarily at this time, but at least, you know, he'll tell us, you know, some things if he does know, I guess is what I'm saying. If he knows anything, he'll tell us, and if not, you know, we won't. But we'll try to find out as much as we can about that. The Bills had several injuries yesterday. An ankle, Brian Winters left with a knee, Matt Milano left with a pec. Josh Allen left with a shoulder. He came back. Cole Beasley left with a foot. He came back. So we'll get an update from Sean McDermott as much as we can. Also, this hour, just got to touch on a little bit what's going on next week as of right now. As of right now, the game is on between the Bills and the Titans. And I believe, and maybe Jonathan Simon's now producing, maybe you can tell me, did you see, I thought someone had told me, and I haven't been on the news to check, but that there were no new positives today from the Titans. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what Brayton had down this morning. Okay. I am like you a little bit behind. I was here pretty late last night and late start to the morning, still trying to catch up on the news wire. But as far as I know, that's the story. No new positive test today.
Okay, so that's the deal there. And we'll see what's going to happen. Obviously, it is a fluid situation. Hopefully, they can play Sunday. If not, I don't know what the solution is. We're all kind of learning these things on the fly and in real time. tonight because of the COVID situation with the Patriots. They actually are flying to Kansas City today. They will play tonight at 7 o'clock. Then there's another game at 8:25, I think, is the start time for the other Monday night game. Is that right?
I think they bumped it back to 8:50.
So 8:50. You're right.
Somewhat of a doubleheader.
So that would be a doubleheader on a Monday night. And one of the games is on CBS. That's the Kansas City Chiefs-New England game. That's a national CBS, right?
I believe so, yeah. I don't see what they would have that would get more viewers on a Monday night than that.
And then, obviously, you're going to get the other one in your normal ESPN. Boy, you got to feel a little bit bad for the Packers and the Falcons, because they had the national primetime Monday night spot all to themselves, and now suddenly they got to split it with the Chiefs and the Patriots.
I'll be honest with you, I don't feel bad for Falcons fans. I think they're pretty okay with being removed from the full national spotlight, especially since they're playing Green Bay.
Did you see, before I go on, I'll take calls, your dad just walked in the studio, I've asked him too, did you guys see Sarah Spain's tweet yesterday? Sarah Spain of ESPN.
No.
She had an amazing tweet. It was so funny, but it was just wrong, but it was funny. Her tweet basically said, "We are now finally entering the fourth quarter of 2020. Let's hope we're not the Falcons." That's great. That's funny. I like that. Let's take some phone calls. 803-0550, 888-552-550. It's the new reality of the Buffalo Bills. That's what I'm talking about today. It's not just this team being 4-0. It's the new reality of how they're playing, having a franchise quarterback, which I believe they do, and having a sustainable organization for success, a sustainable model and people. And I believe that is the case with these Buffalo Bills. All right, got a couple of you been waiting on for quite a while, so let's get to you right now. We'll start Jim in Florida. Hi, Jim, you're on WGR.
Hey, Sal, calling from Englewood, Florida.
No way. How are my friends down in Englewood?
Well, going through a little bit of depression here. Haven't seen the sun in days.
Now, my parents just moved back down to the area. They're back in Rotunda, so I will be down in Englewood, my old stopping grounds, a little bit more. So, Jim, thank you.
Love to see you if you come here, but I know you're busy with family. But anyways, two things. I'm a little tired of the naysayers, the people that, you know, just don't want to believe and they want to just keep picking, nitpicking everything. I mean, be happy. We're looking amazing. And the second thing is, over many, many years, I've noticed that championship quality teams with great coaches, great quarterbacks, go for the kill after a turnover. And we did that yesterday.
Yep.
And I was so happy to see that.
You know what's funny, Jim? I got to tell you, true, and I'm not, I am telling you this to look good because it's going to make me look good, but it is true. During that break, they go to a TV timeout after that fumble recovery. I said to the guys in the broadcast booth, I said, now's the time to take a shot. Because you're right, Jim. That's what you do. You take a shot. You go downfield and you say, coaches call it sudden change. When you have a sudden change, then you attack because the other team is on their heels, and I loved it.
Yep, I agree totally. Yep.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate the phone call. Stay well down there in Englewood. Let's go to Josh and Olean. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Sal. How's it going, man?
I'm good. Thanks for holding on, by the way. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, dude. No problem. So, yeah, I just wanted to give you guys a call, and not sure if anybody else caught this, but last night after the post game in the nightcap, they kick it over to the ESPN game night show, and I took a listen to that for a bit, and they got talked about the Seahawks, and they got talked about the Bills. And they brought on an NFL analyst, and they posed the question to him, who is the more real Super Bowl contender, Seahawks or the Bills? And after a brief pause, he goes, is it weird to say the Bills?
Ha, that's really funny.
Thought that was awesome. That just got you pumped. And then right after that, the host gave a nice little shout-out to Bills Mafia. They said, you know, right now in Buffalo, there's somebody smashing through a table because you just said that.
So. Yeah, I went on a Vegas radio station earlier last week, and they asked me about, like, if there were enough tables in Vegas and things like that. It's just something that follows you around if you're associated with the Bills, I guess.
Yeah, it's so nice to see them earn that positive, you know, the media, the national media. It's going to be great to see where this goes.
All right, man. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for holding again. Like I said, I appreciate you staying on.
No problem, Seth.
All right. Yeah, thank you. We got a few people who have been holding for a while as well, like Ryan in North Carolina all the way down there. Hi, Ryan. What's up?
Hey, Sal, enjoy the show and loving this 4-0 start.
Yeah, I imagine most Bills fans everywhere are. It is fun.
Hey, just calling to build on your arrow up, arrow down column in regards to the running game.
Yeah.
Although I totally agree with that, I just wanted to give props to Devin Singletary because, you know, watching him in yesterday's game, although he didn't play his best, his ability to gain yards after the first and sometimes the second hit is amazing. I mean, there were several times when I thought it was going to be a 2 or 3 yard loss and it ended up being a positive 2 or 3 yards. So I still want to give him that props.
Well, he is so good at making people miss. He forces a lot of missed tackles. They played a team that has a lot of missed tackles anyway. The Raiders had the second most in the league going into yesterday. I think Devin Singletary is a good football player. I think that they need a compliment with him and not having Zach Moss, you know, yesterday. They could use him. It's not that he's a huge difference maker, but I just think it makes the offense work better when you have that other ability too.
Definitely. I need that 1-2 punch.
Yep. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the phone call. Jack in Lockport. Hi, Jack. What's up?
Hi, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hey, I think the new reality is now we have an A gun instead of the old K gun.
Oh.
The reality is the A gun.
Is that what you're calling it? You're calling it the A gun. That's it. Now, you remember, Jim, or Jack, I'm sorry, you remember, Jack, that the K gun was not named for Jim Kelly. It was named for Keith McKellar, who came in certain situations.
Okay, well, since it rhymes, I still think we should name it for Josh Allen.
All right, well, you also have two guys that have K who play tight end. You have Dawson Knox and you have Tyler Kroft. But I'm just having fun with you right now, Jack. But, yeah, I mean, look, the way that they're playing offense, the way they spread the field, the way that they're attacking in 2020, it is a new reality, which is what I talked about at the beginning of the show, as you know. And I do think that this is something that they're going to be doing. This is their identity. They're not going into games saying, well, you know what, we should just run the ball this game. That would have been the game plan, I think, against the Raiders. The Bills, they want to throw because that's who they are now.
Yep, and I want all the naysayers to remember that Jim Kelly didn't complete every single pass either.
No, we all know that. I mean, Jim Kelly's completion percentage was high 50s sometimes, and he was still amongst the league leaders. The only thing is, I will tell you, Jack, and I'll tell you this to everybody. Just remember this. And Jack, thanks for calling. But just remember what I'm about to tell you, Jack. Please don't compare quarterbacks from the 1990s to quarterbacks in 2020. I don't care if it's Jim Kelly or Dan Marino or Boomer Esiason or John Elway versus Josh Allen or Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson. The game has completely changed. Brett Favre did not have a great completion percentage if you're talking about 2020. He was amazing. He was great for his completion percentage back in when he played. Jim Kelly led the league in completion percentage when you're in the low 60s. If you're low 60s in 2020, you're one of the worst. You just can't compare it anymore. It's a different game. I understand your point. Nobody's perfect. Not everybody's going to be 75%. Josh Allen over 70% is good. It's still only ninth in the league right now. It's 70%. My gosh, if you had 70% completion percentage back when Jim Kelly played, they're just immediately putting you in the Hall of Fame. That would be incredible. Just doesn't work like that anymore. But your other point is taken. But your overall point is taken. Just want to point that out to you. All right, I got open phone lines again. 803-0550, 888-552-550. But Matt in Pennsylvania jumped on. Hi, Matt. You're on WGR.
How you doing, Sal?
I'm good, thanks.
I just want to make a general point about the defense. I think a lot of people get fooled into thinking this is the same defense from the last couple of years. And the front seven is pretty different compared to what they had last year. They brought in 3 new free agents, Jefferson, Addison, Butler. Epenesa's a rookie. Oliver's in his second year. Johnson's in his second year. Phillips is returning from his ACL, and the only linebackers that are the same is Edmonds and Milano, and they've been in and out of the lineup from injury, so the front seven's pretty different. So I'm not too surprised that there's an adjustment or, like, a working-in period here for some of these guys to get used to playing with each other, especially how much they rotate in and out on the defensive line.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, Leslie Frazier kind of said that last week. He basically said, hey, you know, there are some new pieces, and they're still fitting in and figuring out this defense. And again, I'll say, look, around the league, defenses are down. Offenses are up. We see that. It's not an excuse, but it is a reason. It's happening. The Bills aren't the only team. There is something going on in the league, and I think it has to do with the shortened offseason and how offenses were able to get together and things like that. I'll also point out that yesterday, amazingly, through all of the 1 o'clock games, only one team did not score 23 points or more, and that was Washington. Every team in the league in the 1 o'clock window scored at least 23 points. And late in the fourth quarter, the Bills had the Raiders down, held down to 16. I mean, they did not play a bad game on defense yesterday. I think they just gave up some critical plays when they should have made plays on third down or getting off the field, and they let that bite them a little bit.
I'd just add in, we still have Hughes, you know, he's been there for a long time. So we still have the cornerstones of the defense and Jerry Hughes, Tre'Davious White, and really the strength of our defense are the safeties and Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Micah Hyde, man, he got caught in a one-on-one situation and made a great tackle. If he wasn't there, that play would have been broke for a long run, could have maybe won for a touchdown. And then late in the fourth, or early in the fourth quarter, we had stopped them. The fourth and one, and then the Raiders decided to go for it. And Ed Oliver made a great play. He stacked and held his position on the line, and he broke, shed his blocker and made a tackle for no gain, and they forced a turnover on downs.
The other thing that happened yesterday was Jordan Poyer actually was the matchup on Darren Waller. Now, Waller had some good numbers. Poyer wasn't on him every play, but what they did was they basically put Jordan Poyer over top of Darren Waller, and they kind of either double-teamed him with someone, you know, giving him a chuck off the line, or they basically just had Jordan Poyer. But everywhere he lined up, Jordan Poyer was, and that was the game plan on Waller.
I'll let you go with this. I just love Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. I think they're so underrated. They don't get the recognition probably because of where they play, but people around the league, they know how good they are.
No, that's right. That's right. I agree with you. Thanks for the phone call. I got to run. I got more phone calls to get to, including where we go next. Fletcher. Hey, Fletcher, what's up? You're on WGR.
Hey, you want to make a comment on the challenge made for the John Brown non-touchdown event. A lot of people are saying that it probably wasn't a good idea, and perhaps logistically it isn't. But I wonder if it has to do with the fact that they've been doing so poorly on third quarter output that they're wanting, that maybe coaches wanting to give them some kind of a reason to be proud of the third quarter this time. If they've made a touchdown, that helps them out on their...
I would have a tough time, Fletcher, thinking that Sean McDermott is thinking, we haven't been good in the third quarter, this would boost our spirits. I think he just thought it was a touchdown, and he said, we need a touchdown here. I mean, look, Jeremy disagreed. Jeremy said this morning he would not have challenged. He thought it was a bad challenge simply because you're going to put it at the one-yard line anyway. You're wasting a timeout. If you don't do it, just punch it in. But I will tell you, we had this debate, Fletcher, in the actual broadcast booth during the timeout. And I brought that up. I said, is this a worthy challenge? And I will tell you that even Steve Tasker said to me, look, I mean, you can't predict. What if there's a fumble? Like, if you get a touchdown, you're convinced you got to get the touchdown. I think that's really, I don't think it had anything to do with the third quarter necessarily being in, you know, in Sean McDermott's mind.
Okay.
That's all. That's so I would disagree with you, but I understand your thought. I just wouldn't agree with that. Joe in Dunkirk. Hi, Joe. You're on WGR. By the way, Joe, before you talk, let me tell everybody that the Extra Point Show is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you in part by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, and by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Now, the floor is yours, Joe.
Hi, Phil. Hey, I would just like to comment on and give props. I got a couple things, actually, to the Pegulas, first of all. You know, three years ago, when they brought in McDermott and Bean. What a great thing. I mean, you know, we've heard for how many years, trust the process, and everybody was going crazy, all nervous and stuff. But now you don't even hear it this year because the process has worked. They've brought along Allen the way they should have brought him along. He's playing with confidence. He's playing great. And you know what? Kudos to the Pegulas for bringing those two guys in because they're great. And another thing, too, Darryl Johnson. I couldn't believe it when he was on the bubble during the preseason. Every preseason roster, you know, I saw that who was going to make the team, he was on the bubble. That guy's a playmaker. Last year.
Well, you got to think, here's the reason why, though. He's really kind of the ninth defensive lineman, right? I mean, it's tough. And they have good players there.
Yeah, but every time he plays, he's a playmaker. Last year, when you know his rookie year, I remember he came in.
No, I understand that, Joe. Do you understand, though? You can't keep everybody who's good, though, if your roster has other players at that position because, like, they're going to have to cut some people who are good players. It's the same thing at wide receiver. I understand what you're saying, but tell me, like who did you think he should have? I guess if you did a roster projection, you were just saying you got to keep them no matter what. But I'm telling you, when people do roster projections like me, they only generally keep four defensive ends. So someone's got to go. And Are you going to cut Trent Murphy? Are you going to cut Jerry Hughes? Are you going to cut you're not going to cut A.J. Epenesa. You're not going to cut, you know, Mario Addison. And I know the Trent Murphy salary deal, but do you understand what I mean? That's why I think it's fair and reasonable to understand why he was on the bubble.
Yeah, I guess, you know what? This league is made up of playmakers. I really believe he's a playmaker at the defensive end position because in his limited time, he's made plays whenever he's been in there. So
I get you. Who should he play over then? I mean, if he's a playmaker, you want him on the field more. Who should he be playing over?
Well, you know what? You figure out a way to do it because you don't want to let him get away.
No, but that's not the – you can't do that. Again, who should he be playing over now? And I'm not trying to fight with him. I'm just trying to walk through the process here. You say you figure out a way to do that. Well, you got to take somebody off the field. Who are you taking off the field?
Then I take Murphy off the field, and I put Addison over there.
Okay. So you want Addison – so your defensive ends are then what? Jerry Hughes, and you're going to rotate Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison and have Daryl Johnson on the field more?
Yes. I just think he's a playmaker. That's all.
Okay. I got you. I disagree with you. I think you need Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison on as much as possible. I like Daryl Johnson. I think he's a good special teams player, and I like the way he's developed, but I'm not putting him on the field more often than Jerry Hughes or Mario Addison or even Trent Murphy right now at this point, to be honest with you. I like the kid. I'm not doing that. I don't think that's the best course of action. Extra point from the sidelines. This is a deeper look at something that happened in the game from the sidelines, and it is brought to you by Catholic Health, the right way to care. So my deeper look into something that happened on the sidelines is Jonathan Abrams, the safety for the Raiders. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. It just seems like he wants to either fight somebody or take an extra shot or talk smack when he shouldn't be talking. This guy, yesterday, every time I looked up, there was something going on with this guy around the ball and around the Bills players. Now look, yesterday's game was a bit chippy, and maybe I should have started there and said my extra point view from the sidelines is the game being chippy. I just thought, like, this guy, like, what he seems to be starting an issue every time he's around the football, pushing somebody, talking to somebody. I don't know, maybe that's what he is. Maybe he's the Brad Marchand of the NFL in the Oakland Raiders. I don't know, cause he's a good player of the Las Vegas Raiders. He's a good player, but every time I looked up, he was doing something. So just something to watch going forward. I mean, I know John Gruden wants him to play with an edge, and that's great. And look, here's the other thing. If he's on the Bills, you're like, yeah, that's the guy we want. Also can cost your team, man. So that was the extra point from the sideline, and it was brought to you by Catholic Health, the right way to care. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Plenty more on the way on WGR on the Extra Point Show.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Carr gets rid of it quickly. Caught by Waller, the tight end. And he gets knocked down there. The ball comes out loose. The Bills jump on top of it.
Run.
Josh Norman has the football. They're going to rule it a fumble, or they're going to rule he was down.
Going the other way.
Buffalo
first
ball.
Down.
Buffalo ball at their own 40-yard line.
John Murphy on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network call right there. And that play, to me, was the turning point of the game, especially for the Bills defense. And I guess I shouldn't say turning point of the game. It's not like the Bills needed to overcome a deficit, but that game turned the game for the defense. That play did. Turned the game for the defense. I thought it just brought them a lot more energy. When Norman recovers that, you have to think about the situation here, okay? Josh Norman punches that ball out. They're driving. They are at the Bills' 33-yard line and only down 7 points. I mean, they're threatening to score to tie the game, the Raiders. Norman punches it out. He picks it up. He runs back. Bills players are celebrating. He gets pushed out of bounds, probably by his own team, I think. That was a huge play. And then from there, the Bills just went in lockdown mode. The next series for the Raiders, 3-and-out. Next series for the Raiders, 4-and-out. Actually, another fumble, I should say, on a fifth play. Next series for the Raiders. What happened here? First and 10. Oh, yeah. Got to the two. Then they finally went down and scored on the 2-minute warning. But that really changed, to me, the complexion of the way the defense played and acted in the fourth quarter. So good job by Josh Norman to be able to do that. He also mentioned Peanut. Was that Tillman, right? Charles Tillman. He's Peanut. That's who that is. Yeah. That he was somebody that he learned that from. And remember a few years ago, we heard that in Buffalo, how Charles Tillman came to, like, teach guys how to punch the ball out. It was amazing because Norman brought that up in his name again. The guy was amazing at it. He was a master. And Norman said, it's not something I ever thought about, but he taught us how to do it. And that's what he used, was that technique. Really cool. Anthony in Buffalo. Hi, Anthony. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome.
4-0 feels really good. And it feels legit this time. We feel like an actual decent team. The only point I wanted to make was it seems like we're really, really flat in the third quarter. And this is the part I was hoping to get your opinion on. It seems to me that it's only the other teams making adjustments at halftime, and I'm speculating, is that because we've been so dominant in the first half?
Well, you're wrong that the other team is. It's the easy thing to say because they have performed better. It's just a pet peeve of mine. I'll tell you this, and I brought this up last week too. Whenever something happens after halftime that goes right for one team and wrong for the other, the first thing people say is they didn't make adjustments. They do. The Bills make adjustments. They made one last week against the Rams. They came out. They went more big nickel in the second half to counter their run game. Guess what? It still didn't work. They do make adjustments.
So is it just that the other team is making a better adjustment?
No, I don't know. I don't even know if I'd say that. I think they're executing better. I do. And look, I will say this, though. I would tell you this, though, Anthony. There is probably something to the fact of if you're playing well, you're going to be less apt to change things than if you're not playing well. If you need to come back, if you need to make an adjustment, if you need to come back and find a better way, you're probably going to have to make a few more adjustments. So, yes, that happens. But it is not true at all that the other team is making them and the Bills aren't. I don't care what the score is. The Bills are making adjustments to still try to be just as good or better than they were in the first half. They also, plays matter, right? I mean, they come out. And by the way, the Bills came out in this one in the third quarter, and they did not do well in the very first drive, but they did wind up scoring, right? Because that was the John Brown catch and then the subsequent touchdown by Josh Allen after that.
Right, right. What before you let me go here, what would you propose is the reason for why we have appeared to be rather flat?
I think there's a couple things happening here. I do think, like I said, one of them is the other team, they've been up in the third quarter at halftime. The other team is, I guess, a little bit more desperate to change some things up. So I do think that happens, and then you have to counter that. And it takes a little while sometimes for you to figure out what they're doing. By the way, Anthony, the other thing, I don't know if you ever noticed, but going back to last year, the Bills have not been good defending the first drive of the game against teams. And it's the same thing to me. A team comes out, they have a certain way of doing things. The Bills just, they adjust more on the fly. They'll say, what are they doing? Let's figure it out. And I think that's happening at halftime too now, whereas teams have adjusted at halftime. The Bills make their adjustments, but the other team said then it takes them a little while to say, okay, what are they doing? Let's fix it. But the other thing I'll tell you, Anthony, and I believe this, and I don't know if there's a way to quantify this. I do think that not having fans in the stands and being up takes away a little bit of your juice and energy when you come out. You know what I mean?
I can totally see that. And I will say it is easy to forget that because watching the game from home, it's really been a very nice experience because you don't really notice that the fans aren't there too much. But I also,
but that's why I think I brought up, did you hear what I just did about Josh Norman? I think that play
right.
gave them so much more energy and juice, and I think that was missing for them for a quarter and a half after halftime, and then suddenly they get it, and now all of a sudden they play better.
Oh, absolutely. And it is not to mention or not to disregard the fact that, I mean, listen, we're 4-0. Look at what happened. I mean, it was a nail-biter last week against L.A., that's for sure. But, you know, we still ended up pulling it out. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm disregarding all four adjustments. And like you said, we're clearly making it.
No, I get you, Anthony. I just want to point out, because people say that a lot. I think it's low-hanging fruit to say, like, we're not making adjustments if it's your team and they're on the other end. But I think they do. They just, you know, they have to still counter the other team when they make maybe more of them. That's all.
I also kind of feel like if you're playing that well in the first half,
why change?
Just, you know what I mean?
No, I think that's definitely true and something I brought up too. But good call. I appreciate it. John in Rochester. Hi, John. You're on WGR. Haven't heard from you in a while.
Hey, Sal. Yeah, my first time calling.
Oh, okay. I thought you were a different John, but that's okay. First time. Go ahead, John.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's been a while. I've called you in the past. I like bringing up other things that people aren't bringing up, like the obvious, you know, the second half, the third quarter, all this stuff. First of all, a couple things on the defense on a positive note in the second half, adjustments that I saw, and maybe you can account for. I did see Jefferson made a nice strip sack there. Great play. Looked like a stunt with Harry. Maybe the two of them are just getting used to each other. They didn't play. They know these guys haven't played together before. And then somebody did mention Bam Johnson. He also had a sack.
And I do want to mention they did make an adjustment in personnel. Tyrell Dodson played over A.J. Klein when Matt Milano went out, which was not the case in the first half when A.J. Klein was on the field more.
Right. And everybody said A.J. Klein can't be on the field in any passing situations. He can't cover. But the Bam Johnson sack, What about the way he just, you know, remember, I think he just forward passed that. I think that was a fumble or a grounding. There was nobody there. He just threw the ball forward. He was down. It should have either been rolled down or...
Yeah, I think that one could have gone either way. It's Bam Johnson, by the way. Yeah, Daryl. But he, I agree. That was a tough one. I have to go back and look at it again. I haven't studied that one. It wasn't a... If that one would have mattered more to the game, I'd be talking about it more. But you're right. I think in real time, I thought that was a fumble.
Exactly. And then the other thing I had, Sal, and you might have some input on this now, and this is not in any way to, like, health and safety is number one, but, you know, the Titans now have 10 players on COVID list, right?
Yeah.
I did notice not many of the players that are in COVID list are actual players who play in the games, but one stands out, and that's Jeffrey Simmons.
He's good.
Their best defensive lineman, yes. Now, if he were to miss the game, that'd be huge, but what's the story with these guys? Because he went on the list yesterday, and I'm hearing, like, Cam Newton, in other words, he went on the list Friday. They're saying Cam's going to play next week.
Okay, so here's the deal. If they're asymptomatic, they're allowed to come back if they test negative twice, separated by 24 hours. You know what I mean? So you have to have two negative tests separated by 24 hours in a five-day period, I believe it is, to do that, and then you're allowed to come back. So that's why Simmons could still play, and that's why Newton can still play next week.
Okay, that'd be kind of big because, I mean, obviously Simmons and Clowney up there in front, they got a good defense. They could cause problems for us, but I didn't really see anybody else, and I don't know how you feel about them being away from the facility for a week, but they've also had time to rest up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's so many – so many things. If you want to talk about positives and negatives and, you know, how it affects the game, you can get twisted up because that's true. But, you know, I don't know. They're also dealing with something that's a huge, huge deal in their building. So, yeah, I don't really want to go down that road, but it is something we have to start talking about this week. There's no doubt. Thanks for the call, John. I appreciate it. John and Joe in Tonawanda. Hi, Joe. You're on WGR.
Hi, Sal. Just a couple quick questions. Actually, I want your opinion on a couple things. We spent a lot of money on Tyler Medavich. And, you know, Sal,
it's Medakavich.
I'm sorry, Medicaid.
That's okay.
Kicking the ball out of the end zone at will, and all these kickers can now. And with our punter, he doesn't play a gunner on the punts. Is he worth, you know, in your opinion, is that money well spent? I mean, I know he's an aggressive guy and all that, but I just haven't seen him make a lot of plays on special teams.
Yeah, you know, he led the NFL in special teams tackles over the last 4 years, which is part of the reason they've done that. But I mean, I don't know. I think that that's kind of their special teams have been good, you know. And one of the things he's also blocking for, you know, Andre Roberts on returns, and you know he's on the kickoff team and the return team. So there's a lot more that goes into it just than other than making tackles. You know what I mean? So I think I think it's more about having just good players on special teams and knowing that, you know, he's a part of that. So sure, I think the special teams overall was upgraded because of the additions they made, especially a guy like Tywan Jones as well, who is a gunner. But sure, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you that they overspent on Tyler Matakiewicz. I don't even know. I have to look at how much he's making. It's not all that much.
Okay. And one last thing on Tremaine Edmonds. You're there all the time. After 3 years, are you happy with his development? Like in the last few games since he came back, is he being too aggressive trying to get to plays? Or are they, I noticed yesterday a lot of the linemen are getting out to him and they – you know, they're putting bodies on him. And
this is something I talked about earlier, and here's how I see it, Joe. Tremaine Edmonds' strength is his athleticism. His size, obviously, is, you know, but he is not the bulkiest guy or kid. I guess he's still only 22, by the way. He's still learning. And if a lineman can get out on him, a big physical lineman, it's going to be tougher for him. And this defense is more predicated upon that not happening. The last 2 weeks, they've played big physical offensive linemen, and those guys are not going to be being held up as much by the Bills, what I'll say, a little bit maybe smaller defensive linemen. So those guys are going to get out on the linebackers more. And if that happens, this defense doesn't work the way it's supposed to. This defense is more predicated upon D linemen allowing the linebackers to flow and make plays. And when they have a matchup against bigger physical teams, that's harder to do.
Is that Sal, a lot of that on Star not being here?
I think that that's an issue, but I don't think it's the end-all be-all. Like they can still get things done with the guys they have, but look at a different matchup. When they play, like I have to look and see the size. I don't know offhand. I know the Titans offensive line, or the following week the Chiefs offensive line. Like they're not going to be as big necessarily, so it might be a better matchup for the faster athletic Bills defensive line, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just about matchups. Sports is about matchups, and Joe, you know, I mean, it's just – if you want to sacrifice, you want to go get bigger, you're going to sacrifice speed and athleticism, and it's just a tough deal. So, but I do think Tremaine needs to play better. Back to your original point, he needs to play better. I thought he took some bad angles yesterday. You know, you hope he's still not dealing with the shoulder, which I don't think so, because he wasn't in the red non-contact jersey last week towards the end of the week. But he does need to play better. But the defensive linemen need to be better at, you know, doing their job. And it's harder for them, though, when they're going against big physical offensive linemen. We'll take a timeout, come back, sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, all on the way on WGR. All right, we got a good header for you tonight in the NFL. You got a Patriots-Chiefs game starting at, what time is that, we say? 7 o'clock? And then 8:50 for the Falcons-Packers, right? Pretty cool. That's I like that. Are you down with the doubleheader Monday night? You like that, John?
Yeah, I like it. I like
it's got to be good games, though.
Yeah, they're going to be good games.
I mean, if good teams, good attractive matchups, then I'm much more down with it, obviously. Oh, I think I have to unmute myself on the stream. There we go. We're streaming today. I just asked John if he was down with the Monday Night Football doubleheader. He said yes. We got a 7 o'clock game, 8:50 game, Patriots-Chiefs 7 o'clock, 8:50 for the Packers and Falcons. All right, so let's get to sit up, stand down. I'll get to Hey Buddy in just a second. So let's sit up, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's the first time I may have ever sit up on this. I don't know. I've been doing this for a few years. How about the Cleveland Browns? They look good. They can run the ball. They ran for 300 yards. I think 297, over 3. They have over 300? I think they did. But anyway, they ran. Yeah, that's right, because Odell had that last run at the end. They look good. They scored a lot of points. They're 3-1, the Cleveland Browns. Let's sit up on them. They're talented, but they're in a tough division with Baltimore and with Pittsburgh. And, of course, Cincinnati looking better. We know they already beat them. But it is a Browns team that we need to start sitting up on just a little bit here, I think. Let's stand down. I got a great stand down for you today. Here is my stand down. Ladies and gentlemen, stand down on your fantasy football commissioner, okay? Because he or she is in a tough spot with everything going on. Way too much infighting, people complaining, message boards going crazy, trying to figure all this out. Stand down on your fantasy football commissioner. That person, he or she, is trying to do the best that they can, to be fair, I hope, and they're in a tough spot. Work with the commissioner. Work with the other players. Help each other. Let's get through this together. This is not easy. stand down on tearing down your fantasy football commissioner. That is my public service message for you today. Here's Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey Buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey Buddy.
Buddy, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
In case you don't know how Hey Buddy ever started, it's because I say Hey Buddy a lot. I say that. I still do, by the way. One of the producers down at One Bills Live, the instigators, JJ Torito, he would say to me, like, we should do something called Hey Buddy, because you always say Hey Buddy to people, and I do. So he started that, so I give JJ a lot of credit. So here's my buddy this week. It's actually whoever. I don't know who the person is. I don't know who the people are. I really don't. But I do know this. I'm enjoying the fact that I could actually watch the NBA Finals and now the baseball playoffs. And whoever is responsible for making sure we got to this point, you are my buddy, because I've enjoyed it. And yes, it's because the Yankees are still in it. I get it. I also do root for the Lakers. But honestly, it's well beyond that. I've enjoyed more of the NBA this year, maybe even than other years, because it's on and it's like, hey, this is cool. I can watch this and they're still playing. So whoever was responsible for the bubble in the NBA and making it work, all the players, all the coaches, all the league staff, whoever was responsible in Major League Baseball for making sure, even with the Marlins breakout and everything, getting to this point, just to get to this point, to have us do it, you are all my buddies. I'm enjoying it. I appreciate it. I'm very sad that when I thought about this week, last week, Jonathan was actually going to be the first week of the NHL season had we not had the situation. But even the NHL got through it. So they're my buddies too. Everybody who's done it to help out, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, you're all my buddies because we got to it, we got through it, we got to this point. Thanks a lot, not only to Jonathan Simon, but to Brayton Wilson, and to Blair Askew, who came in to help run the stream today, who did a really good job. Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Show. One Bills Live is up next. Steve Brown, Steve Tasker, Chris Brown. We got Shopin the Bulldog right after that on a Buffalo Football Monday on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.